expound for a couple of minutes with you. Because to get those four men in one place, any golfers here tonight? Any hackers here tonight? We've got one anyway, he's honest. Wherever I go, there's no golfers. And the clubs that I live around are all Jewish clubs. So they never come to our meetings. Oh, okay. That was a bit... Come on, Standerton. To get Dennis, Simon, and Dale Hayes to be there, to come and take time out to make a movie with an old friend, it was just awesome. Arnold Goetz, a wonderful young man, he loves Jesus Christ, and I knew Arnie was his schoolboy. I gave him his first golf lesson. And I was at a men's meeting in Pretoria not so long ago, and he was talking about the old days, and he said, you know, Uncle Fergus gave me my first golf lesson, and walking back to the club, apparently I said to him, I said, you know, you've got a good swing. And he looked at me, and I said, we've just got to find the right sport to fit it. I didn't say that. Well, it started when we were praying over our vehicles and getting ready to go to Zimbabwe. And Willy Ulfacher is a director of Christcake, a lovely Christian man, walks closely with me. You know, I love working with young people, folks. You know that? Because they've got enthusiasm, they don't see the pitfalls that I see. You know, I'm the old man there with the handbrake, and these guys are running. But sometimes Fraser says, Dad, I've got the handbrake and you're running too fast for us. And Willy said, after he'd interviewed us for Christcake as a little missions thing, and we had some burritos rolls, finished praying. Because you see, we pray over the machines, eh? We pray over the tires, we pray over the engines, because we go to places, if you get stuck out there, we're in the shatin, eh? Okay, and I'm not swearing. That's Zimbabwe for bush. Don't swear anymore, I'm a Christian. I just speak in tongues very loudly sometimes. And as he was closing and saying goodbye to me, he got alongside me and said, Uncle Fergie, have you ever thought about making a DVD on your life's testimony? I said, no, I haven't. He said, would you consider it? I said, no. I said, that's not for me. That's for other guys. He said, would you pray about it? I said, I'll pray about it. So I mentioned it to Joanne and Fraser, and went away for a full 6 weeks in Zim. And the Lord spoke to us all, and well, there we have it. This DVD has reached a family that's close to my heart. I was ministering, 13 months ago now in Perth, Australia. And I was invited into the Hillsong Church there, and we had an awesome meeting on a Friday. That week I was there, a family lost their baby in a car accident, farming people. They lived 300 k's from us. 300 k's in, 300 k's out. Somebody phoned them and said, look, is this South African? Well, Zimbabwean, whatever. An African is what I like. He's here preaching. Why don't you come and listen to him? Because he's got a testimony. They said, what's he going to tell us? But you know, the Lord must have worked in their hearts because that family got in their car and drove in. And I never got a chance to meet them because it was a massive meeting. There were a lot of people there. But a phone call came back the next day from the guy or the girl, I don't know. And they said, tell Fergus Buchan. They're driving home, they were still crying. But they said, if that guy can preach, if that guy can laugh in the pulpit, then there's hope for us after what he's been through. That family's been restored now. So that little DVD has been made for them. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. We had so much fun making that DVD. I could just talk about that tonight. It took us 6 hours to play 3 holes. And in the movie, it looks like we played 18, you see. But it took so long because they had to move all the camera equipment. I mean, we had some serious stuff there. So I get onto the first tee, and look, I've played in a lot of tournaments in my life. But I've been out of the game a little bit, you know. I'm a bit not rusty, but you know, you haven't been in tournaments for a while. So I'm on the first tee because Hachi said, now come on, Fergie. I said, you go first, man. You're the oldest. Probably the ugliest as well, but anyway. The camera crew had to take the things off their ears and their tissues in their eyes because when Simon Hobday starts, we can't stop him. So I'm on the first tee. Picture this. Even if you're not golfers, standing like this with a big driver and a golf ball, and I hit it hard still. There's a camera over here. There's a camera there. There's a cameraman. This is cameramen here. And there's one guy about there. So it's getting ready to hit. And this guy says to me, "Mr. Buchan, am I okay? Am I okay here?" So I say, "Of course, son." My heart's going, and I missed him by this much, so we're okay. As I was taking my backswing, Dale pops up and he says, "Fergie, slow back and swallow through." Anyway, that was the DVD. I've got two scriptures to share with you. I want to minister to you tonight. I don't want to preach to you tonight. Okay. So get involved. Holy Spirit is here. Hey? Be free. Let's have some amens. Let's have some laughs. Let's enjoy ourselves. Okay. Yes, there's going to be a bit of crying just now. Probably from me. But tonight, when this session ends, God's going to be glorified. I promise you God's going to be glorified. And I promise you something else. There's lives in this meeting tonight that are going to be changed. There's some people here tonight, if not all, you're here for a reason. Can we have an amen to that? We're not here just to watch a DVD, guys. I always love a meeting place when there's lots of room up front. You've got to come up front. We're going to do that tonight. Are we in for that? I don't know. Didn't sound too... What have I done with my glasses? That's old age, I tell you. Hutchie always says to me, "Fergie, you've got a great future behind you." It's like, I've got some really good friends, eh? It's good to laugh. It's good to laugh. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please Him without. That's what I want to talk about tonight. That's exactly what I want to talk about. Faith. You see, faith is for now. The hope is tomorrow morning. What are you saying, Ferg? What I'm saying to you, folk, tonight, those that come forward for prayer, we're going to pray by faith for the healing, the restoration of the marriage, the restoration of your business. Your children are going to come off drugs. The school's going to go better. And the hope is it's going to happen next week. But you've got to believe it. See, I've been in ministry a long time now. 1988, I met the Lord. And I've been serving the Lord now full-time for 11 years. And I'm tired of froth and bubbles. Can I have an amen to that? I'm tired of ear tickling. Can I have an amen to that? What the Word of God says is what I preach. There's some things I say here, if I say them in Britain, they'll put me in jail. They call it hate speech. Deutschland, I was preaching in a place called Bad Neustadt. And I was talking to people about sin and the consequences of sin. 12 people got up and walked out of the service. Never happened before in my life. I thought, what have I done now? And the Holy Spirit said, keep preaching. When the service finished, the elders came forward and I said, "Listen, I didn't come here to offend." They said, "Yeah, Bachen, that's what we're now in ordnung. It's what we need in this country. The truth. The truth sets the captives free." I was also then called across to Bayreuth. Richard Wagner's opera house is there. One of the most beautiful cities in Bavaria, if not Germany. Had a service and a young guy said to me, "Listen," he says, "Uncle Fergus, I want to be baptized, please." I said, "Yeah, sure." So I went to a massive pond in front of that old Nazi's opera house. And by the way, I love opera, but I've never liked Wagner's music. Now I know why. So I'm in this big pond and Pagat, bring him up. Go back, coffee, biscuits, cake. The Germans, I love their food. Eh? Well, I don't know, Standerton's pretty good, eh? Yes, I tell you. My wife's going to say suffering again. I said, "Yeah, okay." And then Timmy, his name was. We had a shower, got changed. And then a young girl walks up to me with him, with a baby in her arms. I said, "Hello." I said, "And who's this little baby?" So he says, "It's mine." "Oh." I said, "Is this your wife?" "No." I said, "Who is she?" "Oh, she lives with me." I used to have red hair, folks. It's gone a bit white. But I've got roots still. I said, "Son, we need to talk." Go into the pastor's office and close the door. Well, I think Holt Bayreuth heard me. I said, who are you to call me to baptize you when you're living in sin? He says, what do you mean? I said, you're a fornicator. Oof, he says, a fornicator? I said, yeah, and furthermore, you're going to hell. Look in the book of Revelation what Jesus says about fornicators. I said, you're a phony. And I walked out of that church and I was so cross with the leaders that called me as well. Because they should have told me, you see. But you see, we just said the truth sets the captives free. I was staying with my daughter. She's got a beautiful apartment in the town we live in. I got a phone call. Hier, Bachen. So I said, he was talking. He says, Timmy. I said, yes. You know, typical Bachen pleasantry. He says, I want to just say something to you. I said, yeah, what's that? I've just come from the registrar's office. We got married this morning. You see, it would have been the easiest thing in the world. Okay, my boy, just make sure you get married and carry on because you're full of grace and God is going to forgive you. Hey, Anton? Nah. You've brought a child into this world that has neither name. In the days when I grew up as a little boy, and I'm not swearing now, so give me the grace, that was called a bastard. Because that child was neither one or the other. That child has a mom and dad with one name now. You see, the truth has got to be preached, man. You guys have got to get this town turned around. Your pastors can't do it by themselves. We're all called to witness. That little clip, can you remember that man that was emancipated and looked horrible? That black man. It's in Chinoy. For the old timers, that's Sonoya. It's now called Chinoy. I was called to an old age home for farm laborers. It was built by the white farmers. Subsidized, looked after, and then when the land grabs came, the farmers were kicked off, and they were left and forgotten. And as one black pastor said to me, he says, Reverend Chirewa, what a lovely man. He said, sir, you must come and see the situation. So I go in there, and this is what we walk into. But the point I'm coming to, by being obedient and going to places where we don't like to go, went and checked the food cupboard first, one loaf of bread this big, green, moldy, and rock hard. That's what their dinner was for that night, 45 people. Okay? And I had a doctor with me, Alex Stewart, giant of a guy. He comes out and he says, Fergus, please, you better come with me. There's a man here that's very, very ill. He needs prayer. And I walked in and I saw that. But that blanket I put on him, he was naked. What does Jesus say? Huh? What does Jesus say? When I was naked, when I was thirsty, when I was hungry. I said, give me a blanket for goodness sake. This man was a Mozambican. And my interpreter, through him, I said, are you a Christian? He says, no, sir. I said, you're very sick, eh? He says, yes, sir. Through the interpreter. I said, do you want to receive Jesus today? He said, yes, sir. He said the sinner's prayer. And 1 hour later, he died. He's in heaven. He's in glory. He's with Jesus. How close is that? What are you guys doing for Standerton? You don't have to go to Zimbabwe to lead somebody to Christ, eh? It doesn't have to be an emancipated man dying of malnutrition. By the way, that's what he died of, eh? Malnutrition in this age. Anton said, I've got liberty tonight. Sorry you said it, eh? There's nothing worth on TV watching, is there? Okay, you might as well listen to me then. There's two things I want to share with you mainly tonight. It's about these scriptures. Peter Asprey was a frontier preacher. And Peter Asprey loved Jesus so much, he didn't trust the flesh. And I'm doing a Peter Asprey tonight. Not quite, but just about. He wouldn't prepare a sermon. Because he couldn't trust himself that he'd worked so hard in it that he would be exalted. And what a man of God. And what an eloquent speaker. Oh, he quotes the scripture. So what Peter Asprey would do is get into the meetings and his dear wife would sit with him and she'd be worried. And I love that Zulu word called kakazela. And he would sit there and sit there. The music was finished. She says, "What are you talking about?" He walks up to the altar. Genesis 3, 4. Starts preaching. That's an anointing. That's an anointing. And it was a good message. Saying to Anton earlier, I know when a guy hasn't spent time with the Lord when he brings the message. I know. Oh yeah. Two things I want to talk about. I've been touched twice by Jesus. Once with a vision and once physically. Never audibly, but that I think will come, I hope. I would love that. But once physically, so powerful, which I'll share a bit later. In 1988, you just saw that clip. I was never a Simon Hobday or a Dale Hayes or a Hutchie. I think those guys won about 8-9 South African Opens between them. Plenty of tournaments. I was a journeyman. I made good money. Always finished in the middle of the pack. These were champions. Okay? But I made a lot of money. And I was a hell of a gambler. I could play and beat those guys on the practice round, but then I couldn't come close to them when it was on. Maybe I'm a Scotsman. I needed to see the money. But you see, things were going well. I got kicked out of Zambia. Simon got taken off the course in chains, by the way, at the Mufulira Open. And I was on the second green. I'll never forget this as long as my life because I laughed. He'll never forgive it for me. He was going past in the police van with his caddy in chains. I said, what the hell has he done now? And off he goes. But you know what happened was, we played on the SA Tour that year. And the apartheid era, Kenneth Kaunda, blah, blah, blah. He got caught because of his passport. My passport still said scholar. But they caught up with me eventually and bang, out. And I landed in this beautiful country in 76. Started again. See, I was always a Burmaka plan man. So I can speak Afrikaans. And then apart from meeting the Lord Jesus, the best thing happened to me, I met a young lady. Things got better. Got a big job at a golf club out in Springs. 1,300 members. Ish, the money came. Bought a fancy house, fancy cars, making cuts, making good tournament finishes, won two tournaments. Joanne started going to church. The four kids would go to church, but not Dad. I'll drop you, and I'll pick you up. Who's that sound like? Is there somebody that used to be like that? Yeah. Men? Can't pull the wool over these eyes. Okay. See these wrinkles? I earned every one of them. And then Joanne said, it's time to go down to see Angus. Every Easter, went to the farm. And we were playing cricket. I was calling to his auntie Angus. And in a vapor, my boy was gone. And we rushed into hospital. In fact, that clip there is the very hospital. I can't watch it. That's the very hall we went through. And Joe didn't want to see him. And I went in to look at him. You see, he has a proud man, you see. Here's a guy that did things his way. And if you looked at me the wrong way, you were on your backside. I didn't argue, didn't take prisoners. And here I'm standing on the operating table. And Anton lying there is my 4-year-old darling. And I couldn't do anything, you see. I could have had Christian Barnard standing next to me. I could have had the best surgeons from Deutschland standing next to me. They could not bring him back. A lot of fathers and moms here. I'm not here to compare tragedies with tragedies, all right? I'm here to share with you what Jesus Christ of Nazareth did for me and my wife. My three children that saw this. You know, Fraser ran away. We couldn't find him for hours, man. My daughter developed bulimia. She was on this thing with him, man. Angus wanted to shoot himself. And the service was finished. And just packed up and I said, let's go home. And this proud, arrogant Rhodesian, there's nothing more arrogant than a Rhodesian, okay? I can say it because I am one. Now it's Zimbabwe, all right? And I could not stop crying. I could not stop crying. I had what you Afrikaners call an anar here. She wouldn't go away, man. I couldn't comfort my wife. Because I didn't know how to. And one night I went to bed. And early hours in the morning, the Lord sent me my son. And I saw him running through Namaqualand daisies. Completely restored. Not a tractor tire running over his little chest. Completely restored. He never said a word. He just looked at me and I knew the peace in his heart. And please, I was a Christian for 2 weeks then. You know, I wasn't super spiritual. I didn't know scriptures. I didn't know anything. And I woke up in the morning and I said to Jo, I've seen Ellie. I called him Ellie. She says, what do you mean you've seen Alistair? I said, I saw him this morning. She says, where did you see him? I said, in heaven. Now, I'm not here to tell stories because it's never happened to me again. But you see, why I'm telling you the truth, folks, is because that thing left me that morning. Completely restored. Yes, we grieved. Yes, on birthdays and Christmases, and he turned 27 on Thursday. Yeah. Okay? His birthday. And that's when Joe looked at me and said, you saw something, didn't you? I said, I did. See, that's why I know Jesus is real. Okay? And then he started to rebuild my family. He started to restore my wife. You saw her there. She refused to come to church. She turned her back on God. Can you imagine your 4-year-old blondie being taken away from you? Who would do a thing like that? God. Not God, surely the devil, yeah. But you know, one day when I came back from the club and I was getting the kids ready for church, and she came in into the kitchen. I'll never forget. And she looked so beautiful, dressed up. And you know, you know what us guys are like? I said, hey, you look nice. Where are you going? She said, I'm coming to church. You see, and that was the beginning. That's when Jesus came into our lives. That's when we had that encounter with Jesus. And every one of my kids, Fraser's full-time with me in ministry. My girls love Jesus. They have cell groups in Deutschland. And they love the Lord. And then things started to change. But you see, God is such a good God that He had to show me something to prove to me that my boy was okay. To prove that the boy was okay, Alistair, I knew there was a God. I knew there was Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? It had to be. In that same 2 months, two other Zimbabweans had the same thing. One drowned, the little girl drowned, the little boy died in a bike accident or something. The three of us now have lost kiddies. By the grace of Jesus, and I mean it, I ran into His arms. The other two now, one's an alcoholic and the other one is divorced. Because no hope. That's why there's hope, George. Corne, there's hope. Yeah, it's Aina, but there's hope. We're going to pray again tonight. Pray it through. Faith is for now, hope is tomorrow morning. Faith, by faith tonight we're going to pray. Your chance and your opportunity is tonight. Not tomorrow. I get an awesome position in Deutschland. I go and live and work there for 8 years. Got a bit disobedient because I said, Lord, 2 years, make a fortune, I'll come back and work with my buddy and serve the Lord. 2 years goes to 4 years. Kids have got to finish schooling. 4 years goes to 6 years. Just need a few more bucks. Who does that sound like tonight? Oh, I'm going to serve a little bit. Hang on, I'll get my pension. I'll serve a little bit. Hang on. Wife's just got to finish. I'll serve a little bit. Hang on. I've got one guy that's been serving the Lord for 17 years. I said, how long is it going to take, buddy? Are you coming or aren't you? But I'm not judging because I was there. And I was speaking to Amanda this afternoon. I had a laugh, and Amanda, I have to share this with you. We were talking about how things work in Germany. Who's been to Germany? That's a lekker place. I enjoy the Germans. And they are so together, they think. But things work in Germany. And you know, if you're at the Bahnhof and you're waiting for your train, and they always got those big clocks there, and you're waiting, and it goes 2 seconds past nine. Now listen to you guys. 2 seconds past nine, they are hanging. Wo ist der Zug? Was ist los? This is like on the platform. I said to my friend who's standing next to me, I said, listen man, you want to come to Africa? This thing doesn't come for 2 weeks. And you have a heart attack about 2 seconds. She's like. I love the Deutsch to take the mickey out of them, eh? Jeez. But so now we are going into our 7.5 years. And I get out the shower. My wife's a nurse, ex-nurse. And there's a little thing growing here. Been there for about 8 months. And it's bleeding. She says to me, I don't like the look of that thing. Go and have it looked at. So I go to the quack. Old Hans Wittmann. He says to me, what are you doing here? I said, I'm wasting your time. This thing. Yeah, he says, yeah, okay. Takes a piece out. I'll send it away. Well, he phoned me at the golf club 10 days later. And all hell broke loose. I was diagnosed with malignant melanoma. Now, it's the quickest cancer killer that you can get, just to let you know. And they work it in Clark levels of severity. Clark level 3 is deadly. I was Clark level 5. That's how big the tumor. You see, it'd been growing for 8 months in my leg. So I turned to Joe and I said, and I had a doctor who was, he's still, I think he's retired, but he was number 3 in the world for colon cancer. Todolf Hager, lovely guy. He said, let me come with you, Fergus, because your German is very, very good, but we're going to be talking medical terms now, and I want to hear this. He studied in America, you see, so he could speak English and German. When we came out of the oncologist's rooms, Todolf turned to me and Joe, and he said, Fergie, it's 8 months. That's it. I said, what do you mean, man? I said, I'm fat, I'm strong, got a little pimple there. He says, but it's melanoma. So I said, well, what do we do then? Well, he says, we've got to take it out. And he said, yeah. He says, then we'll just go through the procedures. You see, that's when I thought, hang on a second. You know, I know God didn't give me this thing. I mean, we know that. But you see, I've been kept on saying to the Lord, I'll come, I'll come, I'll come, I'll come. Just a few more bucks. Another 100,000, Anton. Just to buy the car. Just to buy Joe another house. Jesus wanted me, you see. So off we go. 7 operations later and 7 weeks on my back. Okay, and they go into my leg twice. Lungs, lymph glands. And they said, yeah, it's very serious. We don't think you've got any chance. I said, well, you keep telling me that. You know, the Germans are as bad as Scotsmen, I think. So they're full of joy, you know. So, but they say, but we're going to find this thing. We'll cut some more out of you. I said, oh, thank you. That's nice. So they put me in Erlangen. I'll never forget it. In the oncology department in Erlangen, just outside of Nuremberg. The best oncologist hospital for melanoma you can find. And I'm in amongst the profs. And they're checking this thing out. And I'm praying now. Now I'm praying. And I made a covenant with the Lord. I said, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, if you heal me, I promise you, I'll resign, I'll sell my house, and I'm on the first plane back to South Africa. And we serve a covenant-keeping God. Right? So I make this covenant with the Lord. These guys are still trying to find more cancer. And then one night, again in the early hours of the morning, I'm in a ward with 8 men. These guys were crying at night. These are guys that, melanoma, you know, can come anywhere, by the way. Mine grew here. Half their face is gone. Arms taken off. Leg taken off. Melanoma swims. Take your eye out. It's a horrible thing. And these men were crying at night, and I tried to witness to them, because I'm a Christian now. I've given my life to the Lord. I'm on fire, but how can this happen to me? You know the parable about the man that built on sand and the one on stone? You know, Jesus said, the wise man, the foolish man, right, in Luke? The thing that people don't realize is the man that built on stone, his house didn't fall, but the same wind and hail came against him. But the fact that his house was based on this, not stone, the word of God, it stood. And I said, Lord, I've been playing games with you here. 3 o'clock in the morning again. I'm in bed. These guys didn't want to know. They said, no, that's just a story. I said, fine then, fine. I was scared enough, to be honest with you. Foreign country, given 8 months to live. Wife, three kids. And as I was lying in bed and I was praying, Hebrews 11:1 was my scripture, you see. I claimed the faith. And the hope was the healing. And the hope was Jesus. And a presence came over me. And it pushed me into the mattress about that deep. And I thought that maybe during the night I had a heart attack. And the nurses were there doing ECGs and holding me down. Because I couldn't move. I was awake, eh? But I couldn't see anybody. And I'm there. And it's just pushed me deeper and deeper. But it was peace. Nothing was hurting me. I thought, what's happening here? And then it let go. It went, 2 days later, in comes the entourage. And I'll tell you what, the German professors love it. You know, the flowing robes and the matrons behind them. And then the nurses are behind them. And the stethoscope is flying, you know. Guten Morgen, hier machen. He says to me, I can't understand this. I said, what? He says, there's no cancer in your body. You see, that happened 10 years ago. In fact, it's going on for 11 years ago. And I said it at breakfast, and that you weren't at breakfast, this is for you. Some of those guys that pronounced that death sentence over me are dead, and I'm still alive. And I'm preaching the word of God, and I'm as fit as a fiddle. Okay, by the grace of God. Now you've got to have chemo. You must have chemotherapy. I said, why must I have chemotherapy? You've got to just make sure. Sicha. No, sicha. Do you know what chemotherapy is based on? Does anybody know here? Yeah. Mustard gas. Mustard gas. What they killed the guys in the First World War with. Yeah. That's the basis. So they started me. I'm so bad, they say, 3 shots a week for 6 months. Who's had chemo here? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Headaches. Vomit. Hair. After a month, I said to Joanne, these guys are killing me. I believe I'm healed. I'm taking myself off it. My oncologist went berserk. Claudia Stauch. She says, who do you think you are? So I looked at her. She says, how can you do this? I said, listen, lady, let's get 2 things clear. It's my body, bought at a cost, a huge cost, and Jesus healed me. And this stuff you're giving me is closing my lungs down. I couldn't walk from here to you, ma'am. The doctors say, yeah, but we're killing the cancer. I said, what else are you killing? Yeah, I got a point there. Yeah, that's what they said to me. I take half an aspirin a day sometimes. I'm taking some stuff now because I've been ill. But I'm here tonight. And I nearly wasn't. And I walked out, and that was me. You see, when we pray for the sick, you must understand this just now, because I'm closing in a second or two. Maybe 5 minutes. There's nothing on TV, man. When Jesus touches you, and when if you've got breast cancer, and He touches you, He heals everything. He destroys nothing. When He healed my melanoma, He didn't shut my lungs down or my kidneys. Because He made me. He knows my DNA. The Word says He knows every hair on my head. The guys that have bawled, I don't know, but anyway. But we'll pray for them. When we pray for people up north with malaria, tick bite fever, bitten by a nyoka, AIDS. When I was in Hillsong, they say, well, what do you do when the doctors go home? I say, what do you mean, what do we do when the doctors and we run out of medicine? The book of James says, call the elders, anoint the oil, pray the prayer of faith of them, and by their faith they will be. Oh. I said, what Bible do you guys read? And Jesus touches you, he heals everything and destroys nothing. Okay, so I'm not saying now if you guys are on heavy medication that you're going to go run out there because Fergus Buchan said you mustn't take your mooty anymore. I believe in doctors. I've got a doctor. Luke was a doctor. And I find it an insult to Jesus when we get sick. And the first thing we do is run to the doctor. We get the pills, the medicine. That doesn't work. We go back. Then we go to specialists. And that doesn't work. And then we go to the oncologists. And that doesn't work. And then I call them last resorters that come to the church. They got it completely the wrong way around. Come to the church first and get prayer, man. And then the Lord will lead you to a doctor. Like I've got a godly doctor. I mean, he prays for me if I've ever been there for me first for wisdom and healing. And then he looks at me and he says, well, maybe we should try this. That's the kind of man I want to be around. We've got problems with our finances. We go to the bank manager. All he's going to do is charge you more interest. Eh? I'm not going to insult the lawyers now. You go to the lawyer, he's just going to hit you for more bucks. And the psychologists, my favorites. You're going for marriage counseling and he's in a divorce trial. And right here, we have a pastor with a team of men that have this. And they have an anointing to solve every problem that you guys will have. From farming issues to marriage issues to children issues to you name it. Here's the answer. And that's the man you come to. And he won't charge you a red herring. He'll pray for you and love you and restore you through the grace of Jesus. Remember what I said now. Remember that now. That's wisdom for you guys. What's the church for? Here's church. The body. It's awesome to see the turnout tonight. T.L. Osborne. Who knows T.L. Osborne? Come on, somebody must remember him. I'll give him. Dave, thank you. He's quite a young guy too. T.L. Osborne's still alive. He phones a dear friend of mine, Stella Bosworth. Auntie Stella, actually. That's what I call her. And T.L. Osborne once said, the reason for a church building is to keep the sun and rain off us. That's all. Because here's the church. We can sit under mapani trees, man. We can sit under thatch huts. We don't have to have monuments. C.T. Studd, one of my heroes, the man that turned Middle Congo around, said nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice till everybody's heard it once. Amen. Now, what I was saying to Pastor Anton, and I'm going to say it to you now in love, I'm sick and tired of talking to fat Christians. Not physically fat, spiritually fat. Every Sunday, taking, come, 6 days later, taking. What are you doing with it? Will you walk across the street to a man that looks like a Muslim and say, excuse me, sir, do you know Jesus Christ? No, because I might offend him. He might say no. Well, so what? At least you've approached the man. You school children that are here tonight, do you stand up boldly for Jesus? Or do you shy away because the main man play rugby and you're just a nerd? Well, that's rubbish. Last week I had a phone call from Gavin Levinson. He's a golf professional. And we've got a son in South Africa that won the British Open last year. Louis Oosthuizen. James Kingston, Charles Schwartzel, Henny Otter, Richard Sterney, they've asked me to pray for them Because they're out there in the world. I was there. I played on this tour. You won't believe what goes on out there. Eh? You think it's like you see Ernie L swinging the golf club in the water in Hawaii. You don't know what happens back in the clubhouse. Back in the hotels. Back in the gambling rooms. Because it's lonely. But those men are so strong in Christ. But they wanted reinforcement. They wanted Fergus Buchan to pray for them. To keep them strong. So that they can witness for people on the tour. So instead of sitting in the gambling dens or trying to chat up ladies, they're preaching the word of God. Come on, church. How are we going to change Standerton? If you guys don't stand up for Jesus and say, today and no more today, we're going to do it. Come on. We haven't been given a spirit of timidity. It's boldness. You've got the word of God. You've got the Holy Spirit. What more do you need? You've got the inspired word of God. Read it with your own eyes, not through somebody else's versions. Come on. Come on. A sinner's not going to walk in here. You've got to go out and get him. I never walked into a church. You wouldn't catch me near a church, man. I ran a mile. Gee, where did Jesus do? Where did he go? How many churches did Jesus build? How many books did he write? How many seminaries did he build? How many Bible colleges did he build? Invested his time in people. He went to the sinner. He says, I haven't come to save the healthy, I've come to save the sick. You can start in your very own house and go across the road to your neighbor. Hi, I'm Joanne Buchan. Does your family know Jesus Christ? No, the door, God, doof. Well, that's fine. Your hands are clean. No blood. You've got to make a stand, church. I think there's different congregations. I don't know. It's friends, it's visitors, it's great. You've got to make a stand for Jesus. Nail your colors to the cross tonight. Those that are going to say, well, you know, it's okay for Fergus Buchan to stand up and speak like that, or his brother Angus, or Eric Van Dyke. Haven't you been given the same spirit that I have? Huh? We're nothing special. The only reason is we put our hand up and trusted Jesus by faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. I just said so. Keep doing it. Martin Luther, my hero, said, they asked him one day, what would you do if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow? He said, I'd go outside and plant an apple tree. What he meant was, I would go out and look for another soul quickly. Before we hear the great trumpet, the great cry, and the dead are raised first, and then we're caught up with Jesus, then it's too late. Come on. And then we come before the judgment seat of Christ. So we made it by the skin of our teeth. I'm going to leave something with you. He's going to say to, let me put somebody in the spot here. You, ma'am. You're in because of me. Because you did nothing. The book of John chapter 6 says that we are called by the Holy Spirit. You know the manna that said, I gave my life to Jesus. You gave nothing, buddy. The Holy Spirit got you up here. So see, even Jesus did that. And he's going to say, ma'am, how many people did you bring with you? That's nobody. But I was a good mother, kept a clean house. Did you have my word? Yes, I did have your word. Why didn't you share it with somebody? It's getting quiet now, Anton. Why is that now? Okay, I'm going to start winding up. It's just been such an awesome weekend and we're not even finished. I was saying to the guys coming down today, I've played in the British Open, by the way. I'd rather be doing this and playing back on the tour. I still love my golf, don't get me wrong. A lot of people have asked me at our meetings, and Indabeli, Shona, Bemba, Shangan, Zulu, Afrikaans, white, English. When you make an altar call, why do you always ask the people to come up? Why can't they just stand there, or why can't they just bow their heads, or close their eyes, or stick their finger up, you know? Those of you that want to recommit your lives to Jesus. Those of you that want to give your lives to Jesus, maybe for the first time publicly. See, I don't go with this. All of you, close your eyes. And those of you who want to give your lives to Jesus, put your finger up.
It's me, Lord.
Nah. Because our master died publicly. Our master hung on the cross publicly. He was beaten. He was spat on. He had his beard pulled out publicly. He called every disciple publicly. And we have meetings, and I've seen some of the meetings. Just stick your little finger up and give your life to Jesus. No. It doesn't wash with me. I'm too much of an old hard ass. You've got to get off your seats and you've got to walk forward. If it means that much to you. Otherwise, shalapanzi. Sit there, man. You want your healing. You really want your healing. You really want that marriage restored tonight. You really want those children back in school. You really want your business to start flourishing. You really want those relationships restored. You really want it. Do you really want it? Then get up here just now and come and stand here and repent and be prayed over and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That when you walk out this door, you walk out different men and women. You leave the baggage here at the foot of the altar. And you cannot be the same again. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Him from the tomb lives in us. How awesome is that? And now's your opportunity, folks. Stand it in. Because we're leaving tomorrow. Yeah, you're probably bigger, better speeches, preachers than me. It's fine. But I'm giving you an opportunity tonight, because I don't know when you get into your car and you go back to the farm or back to you. I don't know what's going to happen to you. Don't stay there 4 months. Don't stay there 24 hours. Ask me. Ask me. Don't put it off for tomorrow. So what I'm going to ask you folks to do tonight, and I don't know who I'm talking to, what denominations, and I'm not interested, because the body of Christ is here. There ain't going to be no denominations in heaven. There ain't going to be a Presbyterian section and an Inhia and a Zulu and a Coloured. No. We're all going to be praising Jesus. With so much power, it's going to sound like the Victoria Falls in flood. It's thundering. So the first call is two things, actually. If somebody's never given their lives to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity tonight. There's lots of room here. I want you to come forward and stand. And I want to pray over you. And some of the leaders will pray over you and give you some literature. There might be some of you here that have been in churches for 30 years. But you've got dry and hard and you haven't got the Holy Spirit in anymore. Because for some reason He's left you. But you want that old fire and zeal back in your lives. You want to serve the Lord Jesus. You want to recommit your lives to Jesus again. I'm not saying you aren't Christians. I'm not saying Jesus doesn't love you. Recommit your lives back to the Lord before He comes so that you can be used. I want you to come up and stand here. And I want to pray over you as you recommit your lives to Jesus. And then the last one is needs. I believe there's people here with health issues. I believe there's people here with relationship issues. And I believe there's people here with racism issues. Let's break it. Just got to come up and stand here and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. That's it. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time. But I'm not giving you long. First call. First timers to give your lives to Jesus. I know we're talking to Christians. But there might be visitors here. Second ones is recommitments to the Lord. Where you've fallen back. You're in church. And it happens. If you've actually backslidden. Seen it plenty. Plenty. My preachings this year in South Africa. Come and stand. Come and stand. Come and stand. Come and recommit your lives to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Come and stand with us. Come and stand. Come and stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the young children. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my darling. Best decision you've ever made in your life. Praise the Lord, sir. Praise the Lord, ma'am. There's lots of room here. Now's your time. Yes. You youngsters, come up. It's lovely, man. There's lots of room here. See, the Holy Spirit's working here. Holy Spirit's moving tonight. I said to the team this morning, there's going to be something that's going to happen in Standerton. Come and stand. Come and stand. Can you do that? Come and stand, guys. It's the best decision you're ever going to make in your life. Yeah? Good. Yes, good. Hey, I love the girls, eh? Don't get me wrong, I'm a married man. She just said, come, but you're coming up here. We're supposed to be the brave guys. Yes, we're a bunch of saps. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is a recommitment to Jesus, okay? I'm going to ask the guys up here if anybody wants to give their lives for the first time. But this is a recommitment for Jesus. I know that. A lot of people here are Christians, but lovely, man. Thank you, my girl that's just come here. Is there anybody else? There's somebody here that's sitting on the edge of their seat. Is somebody just, come on, come. If you're the one I'm talking to, get up here. Come. Plenty of room here. Don't hang back. The angels in the heavens are rejoicing tonight. We're going to say one simple prayer. That's all we're going to do, collectively. And then the leaders are going to pray for you separately. So leaders, can you just back off for a minute, please? Leaders, just back off. Sorry, leaders, yeah. Sorry, leaders, just hang a second. I'm going to say the sinner's prayer. Then you're going to pray. Thank you. And it's lovely to see the enthusiasm of these guys. Give the old man a chance first, man. Is there not one more? Is there not one more that wants to come and stand for Jesus? Bless you, my girl. Bless you. You know, this is just what it's all about. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the favor of Jesus. Yeah, bring your darling up with you. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, play, because just strum something that you wanted. Do you need this? Just something quiet. Yeah? And we're going to pray in a couple of seconds time. Yeah, think it through. The best decision you've ever made in your life, guys. Okay. Now listen, what we're going to do, I just want to know, there's plenty of room here. Come forward a bit, please. Can we just ask the leaders, Anton, just to be still now? I'm going to pray now in the spirit. Come right up here, sir. Bless you, mom. Bless you, dad. Hey, man. It's nice to see. Now, I just want to know first if there's anybody here that's giving their life to Jesus for the first time. Okay? Put your hand up boldly. Come on, son. Hey, praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, the heavenlies are rejoicing tonight, as we are. These people have booked their place in heaven. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, joy! I want to pray over you. Would you just come and stand here together, please? Those first timers, just come and stand here. That are just giving their lives to Jesus. Don't be shy, man, but just come in here, would. Come on, girl. Come on, girl. First time is giving their life to Jesus. Isn't this awesome? Isn't this just, yeah, you see, but it's going to be tears of joy just now. You're going to cry for joy. And you too, my girl. You took a while to come up, didn't you? But tell you what, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Just put your hands out to these young folk, actually. Now listen, I can't confess for you. Okay? It's got to come out of your mouth. Do you understand me, guys? I'm going to just lead you in a simple prayer. Isabel, just hold this lady. I want to lead you in a simple prayer, but you've got to speak it, all right? My girl, do you hear me? What's your name, my girl? What's your name? Frida, come on now. You had the courage to walk up here, don't cry. And you've got to repeat after me, all right? Okay. You're going to be very quiet now. That's it, man. Guys, stand up, brother. Stand up, everybody. Come on. This is joy tonight. Okay, now repeat after me, but loudly. Dear Lord Jesus, now I can't hear you. That's it. Tonight, I give my life to you. I believe that you died and rose again. I believe that I'm washed in your precious blood. From tonight, I will serve no other gods but you. From tonight, my sins are forgiven. And you are my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give them a big hand. Just stay with us, okay? Stay with us. Put your arms around this guy, Eric. Hold him, Wood. Yeah. Okay, guys, now we've got the recommitments, eh? And this is serious stuff because you people know Jesus and there's no condemnation, there's no finger pointing, there's no judgment, nothing. I cannot judge a man or a woman. I'm a sinner just like you, saved by grace. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Well, then Fergus Bachan was the second. Okay, so we're just going to pray for you guys as well now. And you're going to also, out of your mouths. Is that okay with you guys? It's got to come from you, you see. I'd love to do it for you, but I can't do it for you. Okay, it's got to come from you. Okay, we agree on that. Now listen, these guys are, they were a bit scared and a bit, I just love this, man. But I want to hear boldly from the rest of you guys. Eh? Can we lift our hands? Those that are here. Thanks, guys. Father, repeat after me. Father, we stand here tonight at the foot of the cross. Lord, forgive us that we've backslidden a bit. We haven't been faithful. We haven't been bold, Father, to tell other people about you. Father, we are washed by your precious blood. We're saved by grace through faith. And from tonight, we recommit our lives to you. And Lord, we will follow you and be obedient to you from this day on. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give them a hand. Jesus' name.
The people would just love to pray with you a little bit. Individually, if you could just go through that door, follow the facilitators there. Don't run away to your chairs just yet. We're going to have a second call for ministry. So, people, if you could just go out the door there, and we'll continue to pray with you on an individual basis as well. Let's give them a hand as they go out. Isn't this amazing what God is doing? You know, when one of the buckins comes to your town, you must know You're going to sleep late. Now let me tell you a testimony while they're going out. Years ago, Angus came to Franschhoek. Christelle and I, we were there pastoring. I was the youngest member of the church, 24. And we were married for a while. And he started praying for the sick. And then he said, there's somebody here that doesn't have, can't have children. Nobody came forward. I knew there was a couple. They were there. I saw them. I knew they couldn't get children. I knew they wanted children, but they didn't have the guts to come forward. So I said to them, I said to Uncle Angus, he was on stage, I said, hey, you can pray for me and my wife, because Christelle had two miscarriages just before that. I said, we do fall pregnant, but, you know, since they're not coming, you can pray for us. And he prayed for us, and then he prophesied in front of the whole Franschhoek. And he said, you're going to have a baby in less than a year. And 10 months later, Michaela was born, and now we're up to 5. Praise God. You know what, but that night, we went on past 11 o'clock. Not a soul moved, because the Spirit of God was moving. And I want to encourage you, wait upon the Lord.